We'll call the Senate Health and Human Services Finance Division to order for Monday, April 20th, 2015. We have the Health and Human Services Omnibus Bill to walk through today and tomorrow. I will just make a few announcements about how we're going to approach this. This morning, we will walk through the spreadsheet. This bill is clean of policy, so everything that's in it really is in the spreadsheet, so people should understand quite well, especially members and folks who have been tracking their issues carefully. We will have to break at 11 to go to session. We will get back this evening to begin public testimony. I'm not sure how much we have. Anyone who would like to sign up to testify, please email stacy.weeks@senate.mn with your name, organization, and the day you'd like to testify. Testimony will be limited to 2 or 3 minutes per testifier. If members of the public could help us move efficiently through that would be helpful. We will go till this evening. How late would we plan on going? Well,
1 to 2 hours.
A couple of hours anyway of testimony this evening. I would anticipate we probably will not be done with public testimony this evening. We will pick up again at probably 8:30. It might be delayed till 9 tomorrow and continue with public testimony until we're done with public testimony. We will, at that point, open it up to members' questions, have a further discussion about the bill. Again, tomorrow we will have to break for session at 11. We will come back. Tomorrow afternoon, we found a room at 4, this room, at 4 o'clock tomorrow. And so tomorrow, beginning at 4, we will be working through the bill, working through amendments, and we will need to take action on the bill tomorrow evening so that we can be up in full finance the next day. Wednesday is the plan. So just to make everybody aware of what we're trying to accomplish timeline-wise and be fair, is there any questions on that? If seeing none, I'll walk up to the table with my fiscal analyst, Mr. Albrecht. Yes, a note. This budget bill is in balance, and any amendments that members bring do also need to balance. So if you're spending money, you have to find some place in the bill to cut it and make the bill stay in balance. That's a standing rule of the committee. We will have to keep this thing within our budget targets in order to go to finance on Wednesday. So just a reminder of that note as well. All right. With that, I'll turn.
Senator Lurie.
Madam Chair, I have Senate 1458 before you. Would like to offer the A1 delete everything amendment.
Senator Lurie offers the A1 delete all amendment. Before that, we'll go through the bill. Through the amendment.
We can do that. This is the first.
It's an author's amendment, Senator Lurie.
What's that?
It's an author's amendment. So then we'll just adopt it. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, no. Amendment passes. Senator Lurie?
Thank you, Madam Chair. So now we have the bill in the shape. It's a much larger bill than it was 10 seconds ago. I'll just start very briefly and say, I think this is a really serious budget proposal that is largely in line with the governor's priorities to make sure that we make critical investments in mental health, making sure people are doing well, critical investments in children and families, trying to help everyone in Minnesota succeed. Some significant investments in workforce and making sure that we have access across Minnesota to the services that, again, help us. Protecting upstream investments in public health that keep us healthy and keep us ahead of the rest of the country, make us consistently one of the healthiest states in the country. I think we've done a lot of work to try to bring this bill before you, and I look forward to presenting it and taking questions and carrying this forward. So thank you for being here, and with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Albrecht to step through the spreadsheet.
Mr. Albrecht.
Madam Chair and members, the columns that you want to be paying attention to are the columns on the right-hand side of the page. Those are the Senate provisions. As we walk through, I will skip over anything that is not in the bill of the governor's proposals. You'll be able to recognize those by the fact that they have all zeros in the Senate columns, and they have numbers in the governor's column. The first thing probably that you might be interested in is on line 6 of the spreadsheet. This is the change in the general fund. Senator Lori's target was $341 million in 16 and 17 and $479.5 million in 18 and 19. Another thing that is often of interest is the balance in the healthcare access fund. At the end of 2019, the balance remains zero, which is what it was in the February forecast. And with respect to the TANF fund, similarly in that block, there are lines 25 to 29. The TANF fund, though there is activity in it in this bill, the fund remains at a zero balance at the end of 2019 as it did in the February forecast. The next several lines are the individual appropriations for the agencies in this committee's jurisdiction, if those interest you. Otherwise, we can go to page 2 near the bottom there. This is the beginning of the change items for the Department of Human Services, beginning on line 89. Is the governor's proposal to simplify the child care assistance programs. That is additional spending of about $1.6 million in 2016 and 17. On line 96 is a revision to the governor's proposal to reduce the basic sliding fee child care waiting list. This relates to Senate File 1199, Senator Hayden's bill. The Senate's position is a $20 million increase in the basic sliding fee program in 2016 and 17, and a $24 million increase in 2018 and 19. That's a bit more than the governor's proposal. Moving on to the next page, on line 101 at the top, this was one of Senator Lori's provisions where he noticed in the governor's policy bill that there was a provision that was claimed to lead to additional recoveries from child care assistance requirements to maintain attendance records, and some savings did emerge from that of about $206,000 in 2016 and 17. On line 113 is Senate File 1207, Senator Lori's administrative simplification bill that spends about $278,000 in 2016 and 17. On line 121 is Senator Goodwin's family law modifications bill, provisions that relate to this child support program, $106,000. Line 126 is the governor's White Earth Nation transfer funding. This is transferring certain county responsibilities to the tribe with general fund support of $2.8 million. Line 130 is Senate File 1078, Senator Champion's bill relating to administrative simplification for service coordination. That has a report on it with a cost of $10,000. Line 135 is the governor's proposal relating to Red Lake Tribal TANF with $284,000. At the top of page 4 on line 141 is the governor's recommendation for the American Indian Family Early Intervention Program. It's the governor's level of funding at $2 million. Line 147 is Senator Hoffman's Senate File 500 relating to the way child support arrears modifications are dealt with. That results in additional spending of $132,000. On line 153 is a governor's proposal that shows as no dollars, but it does reallocate base appropriations, and it relates to the tribal customary adoption grants. Line 156 is the governor's proposal for integrated care for high-risk pregnant women. The Senate does not do the governor's oral health initiative, but on line 174 does have some dental program changes based on Senator Rosen's Senate File 801.
On that one, you know, I did say, Madam Chair, everything is in the spreadsheet and the number is here, but maybe we should just kind of step through that quickly. Senator Rosen, do you want to do that or do you want me to?
No, go ahead.
Okay, so what this would do is it spends about twice what the governor spends, a little less, $15 million in 16-17 and just about $30 million in 18-19. And it provides a 24% increase above the base rate for dental services. It takes then critical access and it takes that value and puts it rather than into direct critical access payments, puts it into a pool that's available for those providers that are serving our public program enrollees. And it also keeps the 20% increase for community clinics. And then dental providers that are providing that access and have access to the pool can be compensated above the base rate that has the 24% built into it and the 20% bump for community clinics and be held whole and do a little bit better probably than today's system. And it costs, again, 14.7 in 16-17. Just about $30 million in 18-19, so it has some significant tails, but that's really the broad strokes of how that program fit together. And it's still probably a work in progress, but I will say, of the three proposals, House, Senate, Governor, Senator Rosen, thank you for working so hard. I think this will be widely recognized as the best one today on the table. It still needs some work. We'll keep working and see where we can get.
Mr. Albrecht.
Madam Chair and members, continuing on line 180 is both the governor's child protection oversight proposal and Senator Sharon's Senate File 4 relating to the same issue. It's largely the governor's money, the $52.2 million in 2016 and 17, though the tails are reduced. You can see that on the next page on line 162. The grants to the counties are reduced from $22 million per year in 2017 to $12 million per year in 2018 and 2019.
Now, that might take
Senator
a little
Lloyd.
Explanation as well, Madam Chair. Thank you. So in working with the Tax Committee, members may remember that I had another bill to try to have aids and credits through the Tax Committee pick up the costs of Indian Child Welfare Act cases, ICWA cases. And in working with Senator Scoy and the rest of the Tax Committee, they are going to roll out a bill that picks up the costs of the ICWA cases and relieves the counties of that burden at an amount just over $16 million per year in the 18-19 biennium. And so we're reducing the grants to the counties by $10 million here, but in aggregate between the two bills, the tax bill and the HHS bill, there would be a net $6-plus million per year, $12 million for the 18-19 biennium going to the counties to support the child protection initiative. So this is a blend between the tax committees picking up a piece of it and the Health and Human Services continued support. I will say I'm sure counties will be looking for the distribution and mechanism once that adjustment is made, and that was a bit complicated. We did ask for, since it's in the tails, we asked DHS for some work and help us scope what the new distribution model should be to treat counties fairly once that ICWA piece is picked up through aids and credits.
Mr. Albert?
Madam Chair, one other difference is on line 183. The governor's proposal had the $3 million grants going through nonprofits, and the Senate's proposal has that money going to the counties as well.
With Senator Sharon's...
Senator Lurie.
Madam Chair, with Senator Sharon's language about how the distribution is accomplished to the counties.
Mr. Albert.
Madam Chair, on line 188 is the governor's proposal to eliminate the fee for child support services. Line 192 is Senator Benson's bill for the return on taxpayer investment study. That's $312,000. Line 196 is Senator Rosen's bill for EMA emergency medical assistance legal referral grants, $300,000. Line 200 is Senator Claussen's family assets for independence in Minnesota, or the FAME bill, for $200,000. Line 204 is Senate File 1428, Senator Westrum's bill, that provides money to Stearns County for administrative support to a veterans services organization. That is $52,000. Line 208 is Senator Hayden's Senate File 316, the Healthy Eating Here at Home program, $250,000 each year. Line 214 reflects the governor's proposal to make North Star Care a forecast program and picks up some savings in 2016 and 17 and additional costs in 2018 and 19 that are relative to the February forecast and but did emerge after the forecast was published. Line 219 is the governor's proposal to increase funding for the Minnesota Food Assistance Program. On the next page, the top of page 6, is the governor's proposal to establish behavioral health homes. Line 232 is Senator Eaton's Senate File 238. That reduces cost sharing in the MA Employed Persons with Disabilities program. That is about a $5.3 million provision. Line 239 is Senator Hoffman's Senate File 543 that related to eligibility income levels for elderly and disabled folks. This changes the spend down limit to 85% of the federal poverty guideline beginning January 1st, 2017, and 95% of the federal poverty guidelines beginning January 1st, 2019. That carries a cost in 2017 of $3.5 million and substantially more in 18 and 19, $18.3 million. Line 246 is Senator Goodwin's Senate File 142. This was the bill to establish a facility in Beltrami County for mental health services. This is not the language in Senate File 142. It has been revised. Line 250 is Senator Cohen's Senate File 2035, support for a group for the transitional housing portion of a program in Ramsey County, one-time funding of $321,000. Line 254 is additional funding for Text for Life. This was in bills from Senator Eakin, Senator Sharon, and Senator Eaton. This is one-time funding of $500,000 per year. Line 258 is the Department of Human Services side of Senator Wicklund's Senate File 501, the Health Disparities Data Analysis Bill. For the DHS side, this is a net of $324,000. To the next page, page 7, at the top on line 263, is Senator Eakin's bill, the Safe Place for Newborns, one-time funding of $150,000. Line 267 is Senator Herr's bill for Southeast Asian Veterans Mental Health Grants, one-time funding of $100,000. Line 275 is the governor's proposal for school-based diversion for students with co-occurring disorders. Line 280 is Senate File 716, Senator Eaton's bill to develop an MA plan for coverage of clubhouse program services. It's one-time funding of $134,000. Line 285 is the governor's proposal for services and supports for the first episode of Psychosis, $260,000. Line 291 is the governor's proposal to improve and expand mental health crisis services. That carries an overall cost of $4.7 million. Top of the next page, page 8, on line 303 is the governor's proposal to expand respite care. On line 309 is the governor's proposal to certify behavioral health clinics. On line 315 is the governor's proposal to build community capacity to address adverse childhood experiences. The governor's proposal did have a delayed implementation date for this provision, and so does the Senate. Line 322 is the governor's proposal to establish a psychiatric residential treatment facility for people under 21 years of age. It is a $6.6 million proposal with $23.7 million in 2018 and 19. Line 331 would close a child and adolescent behavioral health service facility in Wilmer. That has savings of $67,000 in 2016 and 17, and $2.3 million. This is a governor's proposal. Line 336 is the governor's proposal to stabilize the mental health services payment structure. It creates a new payment structure and in the interim has additional adult mental health grants to support providers until those new rates are established and implemented. Line 350 is part of the governor's proposal to increase capacity for individuals with complex conditions. The governor's proposal was, among other things, to establish three new facilities. Instead, what the Senate does is provide funding to fully staff the existing facilities and also to the governor's request included money in 2015 to pay for a deficiency in this part of the department in the direct care and treatment area, and the Senate does include those things. So this money is to fully staff 11 additional beds in the existing facilities. Line 363 is the governor's proposal. This is essentially the ongoing funding related to the deficiency bill that was passed earlier. This is for the security hospital licensing corrections. Line 368 is the governor's proposal, which was also part of Senate File 551, Senator Wicklund's bill for the housing with support grants proposal. Line 376 is the governor's proposal for assertive community treatment services to improve quality and expand those services to the state. Line 388 is a provision that repeals an enacted provision from 2013 that was never implemented for mental health specialty treatment services, and it transfers the money from a dedicated fund to the general fund. On line 392 is the governor's withdrawal management system modification. The Senate bill does include this provision. This provision establishes a new process for creating and applying to the federal government for approval of new rates for withdrawal management system that would be MA eligible rates when it is approved. Line 412 is relates somewhat to the governor's GRA proposal on line 394, but the Senate's proposal is Senate File 928, Senator Hayden's bill that reforms the group residential housing program and does lead to modest savings of $868,000 in 2016 and 17.
Madam Chair.
Senator Lurie.
Madam Chair, in addition to the GRH reform, we also ask DHS to take a look at existing spending in GRH and MSA and come back with a report how we could try to spend existing money more wisely rather than this fairly significant investment mostly in the tails on the GRH program. So we are interested in GRH reform. We get started on it with Senator Hayden, Senate File 928, but we're also asking for DHS to take a good look at how we spend our existing money and come back to us with some suggestions about how we might approach that in a more cost-effective manner in the future.
Mr. Albright.
Madam Chair, on the next page, on page 11, on line 433, is the governor's proposal to require 100% payment from counties for patients at the Anoka treatment facility who do not meet the hospital level of care criteria. On line 449, it's related to the governor's proposal for the CD fund rate change, although it has been changed. This proposal on the Senate side would keep the existing care facilities open. It would change them to 16-bed facilities except for Anoka. It would establish a new rate for both state-operated services and private providers. And this is another part, if you look at the 2015 columns, of the governor's deficiency request in 2015, which is included in the Senate's position. On the next page, page 12, on line 464, is a 2% provider CD provider rate increase. This is out of Senator Franzen's bill, Senate File 633. Line 489 is the Jensen Settlement administrative costs, the governor's proposal. That's $3.9 million both in 16 and 17 and 18, 19. Line 478 is the state-operated services operating adjustment. This is the 1.8% operating rate increase that is throughout the governor's budget. It's $6.5 million in 16 and 17 and $8.7 million in 18 and 19. On line 484 is Senator Sharon's Senate File 702 for civil commitment reviews for the folks in the security hospital for mentally ill and dangerous folks. This has a delayed implementation date from the bill as it was heard in committee of 6 months, and so it becomes effective January 1st of 2016. Line 490 is the operating adjustment, the 1.8% for the Minnesota Sex Offender Program. Line 496 is the governor's proposal for Minnesota Sex Offender Program reform. This relates to additional reviews. And the cost for that is $6.7 million in 2016 and 17, with $3.3 million in 2018 and 19.
Madam Chair.
Senator Lurie.
It's the additional reviews, and it's also the administration's plan to be able to move 50 individuals into a less restrictive setting in the community. So those are the package of the governor's reforms.
Thank you. Mr. Albright.
Madam Chair, on the next page, page 13, at the top, line 500 is related to the comment Senator Lurie just made. This is the county share for provisional discharges from the Minnesota Sex Offender Program. It's the governor's proposal. Line 508 is the governor's proposal for child support conformity with the Affordable Care Act. That's $92,000. Line 517 is a federal compliance provision to document runaways and sex trafficked youth data on runaways and sex trafficked youth from the foster care program. Line 523 is the governor's proposal that relates to the treatment of certain assets for MA eligibility for long-term care.
And
Senator Lurie.
Madam Chair, though it wasn't a proposal this year, this was from a bill Senator Carlson brought to us last year. Sometimes it takes an extra year for a good idea to work its way into the budget.
Thank you. Mr. Albright.
Madam Chair, line 527 is the governor's proposal relating to Minnesota Care and the Federal Basic Health Program compliance. This might be a good time to mention that the Senate's bill does include a provision that would make Minnesota Care a forecasted program beginning in 2020. So to the extent that the health care access fund does not have sufficient resources to support the Minnesota Care program, the general fund would begin to pick up the costs for Minnesota Care in 2020, on January 1st of 2020. Line 532 is the governor's federal compliance proposal for health care programs. Line 536 is the governor's proposal relating to DHS funding for its share of Minnesota development and operations. That's $11.7 million in 2016 and 17, and about $13 million in 2018 and 19. On line 544, is a new Senate provision. This relates to an Office of the Legislative Auditor report that showed the Department of Human Services has been overcharged for shared technology services. This provision requires the Office of Minute to reimburse the Department of Human Services $7.2 million. On line 548 is Senate File 981, Senator Rosen's telemedicine bill, $773,000 in 2016 and 17, and $2.7 million in 18 and 19. On line 555 is Senator Sharon's non-emergency medical transportation bill. There are some changes in this bill from the way it was heard in committee. These numbers reflect keeping the current rate for client miles, setting the volunteer rate at 100% of the federal rate for mileage reimbursement, and keeping the prior authorization requirement for trips exceeding either 30 miles or 60 miles, depending on the service and the provider, keeping the pre-authorization for those trips with the counties, and it also has a one-year delayed implementation date. Line 562 is a remaining operating adjustment for the central office at the Department of Human Services. This is the 1.8%. It's $5.7 million in 2016 and 17, and $7.6 million in 2018 and 19. Line 573 is part of Senator Lori's Senate File 139. This relates to the $70 payment to assisters for public program enrollments. That's about $3.1 million in 2016 and 17, and $3.5 million in 2018 and 19. At the top of page 15 is Senator Clausen's Senate File 988. This is a bill that exempts durable medical equipment providers from the Medicare competitive bidding requirement. It's about $2.7 million in 2016-17 with about $3.1 million in 18 and 19. Line 585 is the governor's proposal relating to MA recoveries and increasing the effectiveness of those enforcement activities. It has savings of $70,000 and $86,000. Line 591 is Senate File 63, Senator Eakin's bill for MA coverage for social workers and licensed marriage and family therapists. About $300,000 in 16 and 17 and $680,000 in 18 and 19. Line 597 is the governor's proposal for background studies in special circumstances. That's a licensing provision that has revenue to offset its costs in a dedicated fund. Line 602 is the governor's proposal to update the medication management therapy program that leads to savings of $41,000 and $78,000 in the medical assistance program. Line 606 is the DHS side of Senator Franson's prior authorization bill for prescription drugs. This is Senate File 934. On the DHS side, there are unresolved concerns with respect to the costs in medical assistance. Right now, it's not showing those costs. That's an ongoing disagreement with both DHS and MMB. Line 610 is the governor's proposal for opioid prescribing improvement and monitoring. It does eventually lead to modest savings of $42,000 in 2018 and 19. At the top of page 16 is the governor's proposal to expand the Minnesota Restricted Recipient Program. Line 616 is Senator Hoffman's Senate File 1530. The pharmacy provider consumer choice bill. This is another unresolved fiscal note. It does not show any money on the spreadsheet. It's a similar issue to the prior authorization bill, and a disagreement about how to score certain provisions in that bill that exists, in this case, again, with both MMB and with DHS. Line 620 is the Minnesota Restricted Recipient Program. This provision leads to savings of $519,000 in 16 and 17 and $1.1 million in 18 and 19. Line 627 is the governor's proposal relating to inpatient hospital payment changes. The governor's $5.1 million would address some issues that emerged with last year's hospital rebasing proposal for critical access hospitals. In addition, on line 631, the Senate side has an additional $2 million that is targeted to behavioral health services provided by defined hospitals. Line 634 comes out of Senate File 1576, Senator Sharon's bill. This is a primary care rate increase of 5%. That is $5.7 million in 16 and 17 and $8.8 million in 2018 and 2019. Line 639 is something Senator Lori has been working on over the past week or so. It relates to managed care administrative cost efficiency. It reflects a 0.5% reduction in the trend growth of managed care costs and includes a provision that gives the commissioner some degree of authority in the mechanisms that are used to achieve that reduction. It's a reduction of $18.2 million in 2016 and 17. That is distributed between the general fund and the healthcare access fund. The total amount for that in the 2018 and 19 is $31 million. Line 645 is Senator Hayden's Senate File 655. This is the MA crossover claims for the federally qualified health centers. $432,000 in 16 and 17. Line 649 is Senator Hoffman's Senate File 567. It's the bill that relates to automated dispensing of over-the-counter drugs in long-term care facilities, savings of $2,000 per year. Line 654 is the DHS portion of the Community Medical Response EMTs, Senate File 136. On the next page, at the top, line 659 is the governor's proposal to improve third-party liability recoveries. This leads to additional revenue from recoveries of about $2.1 million with some offsetting costs for administrative costs and $2.8 million in 2018 and 19. Line 665 is the governor's proposal relating to changes in the MA lien processes. This leads to additional recoveries, one-time recoveries of $101,000 in 2016 and 17. Line 669 is Senator Hayden's Senate File 275. This is the North Memorial Healthcare Delivery Pilot Program with a report that costs $10,000. Line 673 is most of the governor's long-term care purchasing and financing proposal. It does have a reduced amount on the Senate side for the HCBS innovation pool. This is also a Senator Carlson bill. Line 681 is the governor's proposal. It was also Senator Pappas's, Senate File 1274, the self-directed workforce negotiations bill. The Senate's bill does include the ratification of the contract. Line 689 is the governor's proposal for a $100 per month increase in the MFIT program. Was also in bills carried by Senator Eaton and Senator Hayden. If you look closely at the amounts on line 690 and 691, you can see that the way the Senate pays for this proposal is different than what the governor has proposed. This relates to changes you will see later at the Department of Health, where programs that have for a long time been funded out of the TANF fund are changed to the general fund. At the top of page 18 on line 701 is funding for the Homeless Youth Act. This was in bills from Senator Dibble and Senator Wicklin. The Senate's proposal matches the governor's proposal with respect to money. The Senate does include Senator Dibble's provision that increases the age of eligibility for these services to 24 years. Line 707 is Senator Pappas's and the governor's increased funding for the Safe Harbor and Sexually Exploited Youth Programs of $1.6 million on the DHS side. Line 711 is part of Senator Wicklin's Senate File 551. This is for emergency support services for housing, $500,000. Also on line 715 is another part of that bill for long-term homelessness services and supports, $1 million per year. Line 719 is the governor's proposal and Senator Franzen's Senate File 948 for additional fetal alcohol spectrum disorder grants of $540,000 per year. Line 723 is the governor's proposal relating to ABLE accounts. This is the same as Senator Hoffman's Senate File 739 without the advertising requirement that was in that bill. The governor's proposal for supportive housing pay for performance is not included in the Senate bill. Line 736 at the bottom of page 18 is the governor's proposal to have the employer, which is the state, pay the employee contributions to health care for folks who are permanently disabled because of injuries at work, certain facilities. Line 740 is the governor's money for managed care audits, but the language is Senator Benson's from an amendment to Senate File 825, the 14A amendment. Similarly, on line 747, the Senate's proposal is the governor's money, but different language relating to the health care financing task force. Line 757 is the governor's proposal for the nursing facility workforce enhancement. This is a rate increase for nursing facilities. Line 767 is a technical accounting transaction between the Healthcare Access Fund And the general fund that is in law in 16A.724. That is the end of the Department of Human Services proposals. On the next page, page 20, this begins the proposals for the Department of Health. Line 776 is the governor's proposal to increase local public health grants in Greater Minnesota, $1 million per year. Line 780 is the governor's money and different language related to evidence-based family home visiting. The Senate's proposal is a combination of provisions from Senator Wicklund's Senate File 1349 and Senator Franzen's Senate File 998. Line 784 is the governor's proposal for family planning special projects, $1 million per year. Line 788 is the MDH side of the safe harbor provisions. The Senate's position is $1 million for the biennium, less than the governor's position. On line 792 is Senator Hayden, Senate File 310, the Violence Against Asian Women Working Group. That's one-time funding of $200,000. Line 796 is Senator Claussen, Senate File 3. This is the Health Professionals Education Loan Forgiveness Program. It's funded out of the Health Care Access Fund. $3 million per year for the loans and $131,000 for administration. Line 800 repeals a Merck contingent transfer that currently in the forecast it shows as a $1 million transfer in 16 and 17, but because there's no balance in 18 and 19, it wouldn't happen there. On line 1049 is an adaptation of parts of Senator Hayden's Senate file, I'm sorry, line 804. an adaptation of Senator Hayden's Senate file 1049 relating to graduate medical education. This includes the revolving loan fund, one-time funding of $500,000 each year in 2016 and 17, and then ongoing funding of $500,000 for the first 2 years, and that goes up to $1 million in the second 2 years for the other provisions in that bill, some of the other provisions in that bill. Line 808 is Senator Franzen's Senate File 359, the Minnesota Poison Information Center. That's $1.5 million in 2016 and 17 and in 18 and 19. Line 812 is Senator Wieger's Senate File 1071, the Healthcare Workforce Violence Prevention, one-time funding of $50,000. On the top of page 21 is Senator Franzen's Senate File 790, the Minnesota Stroke System, $350,000 per year. Line 820 is Senator Hoffman's Senate File 1391, this bill relating to Somali women's health and Isaroon, one-time funding of $250,000. Line 824 is the MDH side of the Health Disparities Data Analysis Bill, Senator Wicklund's Senate File 501, $500,000, $250 per year ongoing money. Line 828 is Senator Carlson's Senate File 1580, the Epinephrine Access Bill, $12,000 of funding in 16 and 17. Line 832 is Senator Herr's Early Dental Prevention Initiative. This is the raising awareness portion of that bill, which is $312,000 and ongoing funding of $140,000 per year. Line 836 is based on Senate File 643 in the sense that that was Senator Hayden's EMA bill. This provision adds $1.5 million per year to the existing grants for the EMA population. Line 840 is Senator Wicklund, Senate File 1818, relating to changes in the All Payer Claims database. That is funding of $477,000 and ongoing funding of $449,000. Line 854 is the MDH side of Senator Franson, Senate File 934. This is, again, the prescription drug prior authorization bill. The costs here are in the state government special revenue fund, and there is no disagreement about this, the cost in this part of the bill. Line 858 is the governor's recommendation relating to licensing activities and inspections in certain state-owned facilities for vulnerable adults. The Senate does continue the state government special revenue fund appropriation for this activity for 1 year, but then reverts it beginning in 2017, or redirects it, I should say, in 2017 to the general fund. Line 872 is the Department of Health's operating adjustment. This is the 1.8% that is throughout the governor's budget. It's about $1.2 million in 2016 and 17, and $1.7 million in 19. On page 22, on line 80, is Senator Hayden's Senate File 1836, the menthol cigarette study. If you look at the detail there, this is funded by reducing the statewide health improvement program base by $200,000 and then appropriating money also from SHIP to pay for the study. Line 885 is something Senator Lori has been working on. It reverses previously enacted TANF refinancing for the activities there on the detail below, the family planning grants, home visiting and nutritional services, reduction in racial disparities in infant mortality, and family home visiting. So what this does is reduce the funding in the TANF fund for these activities and increases the general fund funding for these same activities by the same amount. Line 897 is Senator Hayden's bill that moves the regional EMS grants from the EMSRB to the Department of Health. So this is the increased cost at the Department of Health. Later you'll see reduced costs at the EMSRB for moving this program. Line 902 is the governor's recommendation for the Protecting Vulnerable Adults, the Supplemental Nursing Services Agency. I believe this is a licensing provision. Line 907 is the governor's mortuary science recommendation. Line 912 is the governor's dementia care training requirements recommendation. And these are state government special revenue fund provisions, as are the next four, the governor's recommendation for health information exchange oversight. Line 922, the protection from lead and radon hazards. This is a licensing bill. Line 927 is the governor's proposal, the MDH part of it anyway, for the retail safety unified regulation. Retail food safety unified regulation. It's my understanding that the other half of this bill currently is not in the Department of Agriculture bill. Line 933 is the governor's proposal that relates to drinking water protection. Madam Chair, I'm going to go quickly through the health-related boards. These provisions are exactly the same on the Senate side as they are on the governor's side. They largely there's a mistake on this spreadsheet on the governor's columns where the revenues from the on the governor's side are in the wrong direction. So in any place where there's revenue, that would explain why you see different numbers on the Senate side versus the governor's side. But the Senate side are the correct numbers. I'll point out where there is an actual difference in the language. And like I said, these generally reflect the 1.8% increase for each of these boards that is throughout the governor's budget. The chiropractors examiners is a 1.8%. Board of Dentistry, operating adjustment, dietetics and nutrition practices on line 1580 is an operating adjustment. Marriage and Family Therapy on line 1584. On the next page, page 24, Medical Practice, an operating adjustment. Board of Nursing, operating adjustment. Line 1596, Board of Nursing Home Administrators. Additional items, but still the same as the governor's. Line 1603, the Board of Optometry. A base increase and a fee increase. Board of Pharmacy, a base increase and a fee increase. Physical Therapy, an operating adjustment. On line 1617, the Board of Podiatric Medicine, an operating adjustment. On line 1621, the Board of Psychology, an operating adjustment. On line 1626, the Board of Social Work, an operating adjustment. The increase is from the new license provision. On line 1630, the Board of Veterinary Medicine, an operating adjustment. On the next page, page 25, at the top, the Board of Behavioral Health and Therapy, an operating adjustment. Under other agencies, on line 1694 is the EMSRB. At the first line there is their operating adjustment. The second line is the reduction related to transferring the EMS grants to the Department of Health. And the third line is the licensing provisions from Senator Rosen's community medical response EMT bills. Council on Disability has the governor's recommended operating adjustment and additional provisions from Senator Carlson's Senate File 1524. This is funding for one FTE staff person and for one-time funding for a computer system upgrade. Line 1705 is the Ombudsman for Mental Health and Developmental Disabilities. This is the governor's recommendation. Line 1710 is the governor's recommendation for the Ombudsperson for Families. And on line 1714 is Senator Lori's Senate File 139 that makes MNsure a state agency, and this reflects the provision in that bill that makes MNsure's budget a direct appropriated amount from the state government special revenue fund. So you can see on line 1717, the very last fund, or line I should say, is the amount coming out of the current dedicated fund for MNsure, and the line above it is the line that appropriates MNsure's operating budget in the February forecast and in the governor's recommendation.
Senator Lurie.
Madam Chair, As we were working through the spreadsheet, there was one technical correction that I think needs to be made on the very first item on line 89, simplify child care assistance requirements. The governor's numbers reflected, and that was our intent. But we evidently inadvertently picked up the amendment that we made in this committee when we were hearing the governor's budget bill. It came from Senator Wicklund's proposal, where it extended the reauthorization from a 6-month window to a 12-month window, and came at a cost of $7.3 million, I think it was, and that's not reflected here. So we need to back that language out. Ms. White could probably help me with that oral amendment.
Ms. White.
Madam Chair and members, in order to match the tracking, on Article 1, delete Sections 1, 2, and 4.
Madam Chair, I would move that oral amendment.
Senator Lori moves the amendment to delete Sections 1, 2, and 4 of Article 1. Any further discussion from members? Seeing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion carries. Amendments adopted. Senator Lori.
Well, Madam Chair, that's what I promised we'd accomplish before going up to session. I think maybe it'd be time to recess and go up to session in a couple of minutes and come back for public testimony in this room at 6 p.m. tonight, correct?
Correct. Thank you. With that, Senator Lori. We will stand adjourned until 6 p.m. Until 6 p.m. and take up public testimony at that time in the same room. Thank you, members.